ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवतीर्नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। सो टुडे विल रीड फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 एंड वी आर ओपनिंग अ न्यू चैप्टर टुडे। चैप्टर 8 फ्रॉम कैंटो 6 ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम। द चैप्टर इज टाइटल्ड एज द नारायण कवच शील्ड। द नारायण कवच शील्ड। आवर फोकस विल बी ऑन टेक्स्ट 1 एंड बिकॉज देयर इज नो purport to most of the verses, we'll go till text 12. But we'll recite 1 and 2. Sri Rajau Vacha Yaya Gupta Sahasrakshaha. Sorry. यया गुप्त सहस्राक्षः सवाहान रिपुसैनिकान् सवाहान रिपुसैनिकान् क्रीडान इव विनिर्जित्य त्रिलोक्य भुभुजे श्रियं भगवंस्तन् ममाख्याहि वर्म नारायणात्मकम् यता तथा येन शत्रुन् येन गुप्तो जयन्मृधे। श्रीरजौ वाच यया गुप्तः सहस्राक्षः सवाहान् रिपुसैनिकान् क्रीडान इव विनिर्जित्य त्रिलोक्य भुभुजे श्रियं भगवंस्तन् ममाख्याहि वर्मनारायणात्मकम् यता तथा येनः शत्रुन् येन गुप्तो जयन्मृधे। श्रीरजौ वाच यया गुप्तः सहस्राक्षः सवाहान् रिपुसैनिकान् क्रीडान् इव विनिर्जित्य त्रिलोक्य भुभुजे श्रियं भगवंस्तं ममाख्याहि वर्मनारायणात्मकम् यथा ततायिनः शत्रुन् येन गुप्तो जयन्मृधे। श्रीरजौ वाच श्रीराजौ वाच किंग परीक्षित सेड यया बाय विच द स्पिरिचुअल आर्मर गुप्तः प्रोटेक्टेड सहस्र अक्षः The thousand-eyed King Indra, Savahan, with their carriers, Ripusainikan, the soldiers and commanders of the enemies. Kridan Iva, just like playing. Vinir Jitya, conquering. Trilokya, of the three worlds, the higher, middle and lower planetary systems. Bhuvuje, enjoyed. Sriyam, the opulence. Bhagavan, the Bhagavan, O great sage. Tat, that. Mama, unto me. Akhyahi, please explain. Varma, defensive armor made of a mantra. Narayana Atmakam, consisting of the mercy of Narayana. Yatha, in that way. Atatayanaha, who were endeavoring to kill him. Shatrun, enemies. Yena, by which. Guptaha, being protected. Ajayat, conquered. Mridhe, in the fight. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. Jai. King Parikshit inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, my lord, kindly explain the Vishnu mantra armor that protected King Indra and enabled him to conquer his enemies along with their carriers and enjoy the opulence of the three worlds. Please explain to me that Narayana armor by which King Indra achieved success in battle, conquering the enemies who were endeavoring to kill him. So there's no purport, so we'll go on reading till 12. Text 3. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, King Indra, the leader of the demigods, inquired about the armor known as Narayana Kavacha from Vishwaroop, who was engaged by the demigods as their priest. Please hear Vishwaroop's reply with great attention. I'm not saying, the verse is saying. Please hear with great attention. Vishwaroop said, if some form of fear arrives, if some form of fear arrives, one should first wash his hands and legs clean and then perform achaman by chanting this mantra. Om pavitra pavitrova sarvavastham gatopiva yasmaret pundari kaksham sabhavyabhyantaras suchihi. Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. Then one should touch kusa grass and sit gravely and silently facing north. When completely purified, one should touch the mantra composed of 8 syllables to the 8 parts of his body and touch the mantra composed of 12 syllables to his hands. Thus, in the following manner, he should bind himself with the Narayan coat of armor. First, while chanting the mantra composed of 8 syllables, Om Namo Narayanaya, 8 syllables. First, while chanting the mantra composed of 8 syllables, beginning with the pranava, the syllable Om, one should touch his hands to 8 parts of his body, starting with the 2 feet and progressing systematically to the knees, thighs, abdomen, heart, chest, mouth and head. Then one should chant the mantra in reverse, beginning from the last syllable Ya, while touching the parts of his body in the reverse order. These 2 processes are known as Utpatti Nyasa and Samhara Nyasa respectively. Text 7. Then one should chant the mantra composed of 12 syllables. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Preceding each syllable by the Omkar, one should place the syllables of the mantra on the tips of his fingers beginning with the index finger of the right hand and concluding with the index finger in the left. The four remaining syllables should be placed on the joints of the thumbs. Text 8 to 10. One must then chant the mantra of six syllables. Om Vishnave Namaha. One should place the syllable Om on his heart, the syllable V on the top of his head, the syllable Sa between his eyebrows, the syllable Na on his left tuft of hair, Shikha, and the syllable Ve between his eyes. The chanter of the mantra should then place the syllable Na on all the joints of his body and meditate on the syllable Ma as being a weapon. He should thus become the perfect personification of the mantra. He should thus become the perfect personification of the mantra. Thereafter, adding visarga to the final syllable Ma, he should chant the mantra Ma Astraya Pat in all directions, beginning from the east. In this way, all directions will be bound by the protective armor of the mantra. Text 11. After finishing this chanting, one should think himself, qualitatively one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full in six opulences and is worthy to be meditated upon. Then one should chant the following protective prayer to Lord Narayan, the Narayan Kavach, which means after doing all this, then one should chant the following protective prayer to Lord Narayan, the Narayan Kavach. And now the Narayan Kavach's first verse, text 12. Because it's a prayer, I'll chant that. Okay. Om Harir Vidhadhyan Mama Sarvaraksham Nyastangri Padma Patagendra Prishthe Darari Charmashi Gadeshu Chapa Pashan Dadhano Stha Guno Stabahu. The Supreme Lord who sits, this is the meaning translation of the Narayan Kavacha first verse. The Supreme Lord who sits on the back of the bird Garuda, touching him with his lotus feet, that Supreme Lord holds eight weapons. The conch shell, disc, shield, sword, club, arrows, bow, and ropes. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead protect me at all times with his eight arms. He is all powerful because he fully possesses the eight mystic powers, anima, laghima, etc. Purport, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thinking oneself one with the Supreme is called ahangro upasana. Through ahangra upasana, one does not become God, but he thinks of himself as qualitatively one with the Supreme. Understanding that as a spirit soul, he is equal in quality to the Supreme Soul, the way the water of a river is of the same nature as the water of the sea. One should meditate upon the Supreme Lord as described in this verse and seek his protection. The living entities are always subordinate to the Supreme. Consequently, their duty is to always seek the mercy of the Lord in order to be protected by him in all circumstances. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha శ్రీచైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం ముఖాం కరోతి వాచాలం పంఘుం లంఘాయతే గిరిం యత్కృపాతమహం వందే శ్రీగురు దినతారిణం వాంచాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే ఇట్స్ అ న్యూ చాప్టర్ ది నారాయణ్ కవచ్ షీల్డ్ I seek the blessings of all assembled devotees, including all senior devotees here, so that we may speak something for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada, the deities and all Vaishnavas. So, this is chapter 8, and we have moved on since the context that was there in chapter 7. So, a little bit of a context, very brief. Chapter 7, Indra, the great demigod, he offended Brihaspati. Brihaspati was there in the assembly, but he failed to offer respects to Brihaspati. As a result of this Guru Aparadh, this is an offense, he lost all his powers. And because he is the chief of all the demigods, the entire demigod kul lost their powers. Whatever a great man does, it has impact on everyone. Whatever decisions the leadership takes, the impact has to be borne by all the citizens. Right? So, whatever Indra did, everyone had to bear the brunt of it. And what happens when we disrespect our spiritual master, when you see it from a material angle, all your material powers will diminish. And when we see it from a spiritual angle, our spiritual powers will diminish. So, all material powers of... Yes, Mother. Sorry? The last, when we offend our guru, then materially also we will lose our material powers. It is said even lifespan goes down, and spiritually we lose our spiritual credits. Or when we do Vaishnava Aparadh, there is a stamp that the bank puts on our bank account. We can't operate it. It's unmanifest because of that Aparadh. And only after we seek pardon and that Vaishnava has pardoned, then it is unlocked again when we can access our own spiritual credits. So there is a moratorium, there is a hold on that credit. So what happened was, because of this offense, the demigods lost all their power, and immediately when demigods lose their power, who jumps in there? The demons. They see a quick opportunity there to now come and take back that power. So the demons, they defeated the demigods. Obviously, now, faced with this defeat, there has to be some strategy to win back whatever we have lost. When you don't have something, that is one kind of misery. But when you have something and you lose it, it's very difficult after that. It's another level of misery, right? So when we are used to puja, pratishta, power, position, then when we lose it, it becomes extremely difficult for someone to operate. So therefore, Indra was constantly meditating on what to do, and he went to Tvastha. Tvastha engaged his son, Vishwarup. He said, my son is potent enough, powerful enough to give you something by which you can get back all your powers. So they went and requested Vishwarup. Vishwarup was very humble by his nature. He had a lot of service attitude. He had a lot of respect for the demigods. In fact, Vishwarup was like some kind of a Samadarshi. He did not even distinguish between the demigods and the asuras, because of which he got into trouble later. In that sense. Because Indra killed him. But that is for a later chapter. But as of now, he immediately accepted the plea or the request of the demigods. And he accepted priesthood. Priesthood is not something very palatable for a For a very advanced Brahmana, Brahmana don't accept priesthood. Because priesthood has got little bit of that Vaniya thing going on. You know? We say Leva Devi, give and take. You know? So a Brahmana is not interested in priesthood. Priesthood means you do some yagya, they'll give you some dakshina. Because they give some dakshina, next time when you go to the yagya, the mind will say, will they give me the same dakshina? So that's how the mind will trap, right? So priesthood is not very great. Also, when you do priesthood, then the priest does lot of sadhana. And then the sadhana of the priest is expended in he being a priest, because those credits are passed on to the person who is beneficiary of that ultimately. So people don't usually accept priesthood, but because the demigods requested, Vishwarup accepted that. And it is said that he served them with great enthusiasm and attention. Vishwarup knew that the asuras have become powerful despite all their bad qualities. One good quality they had, asuras. What was that? Their allegiance and respect which they showed to their guru, spiritual master, Shukracharya. And that was a big thing, right? So that gave them all that power. And so Vishwarup knew that the opulence of the demons, the powers of the demons, was a result of the talent and tactics of Shukracharya, Guru Shukracharya. So Vishwarup had to come up with a much more powerful solution now to counter the impact of that curse and to help Indra and the demigods get back their lost glory and kingdom. Now what can be more powerful than the holy name of the Lord? Om Namo Narayanaya. So he composes what is called as the Narayan Kavach Mantra. What in the entire cosmos can be more powerful than this? Nothing. This Narayan Kavach Mantra is also called as Vishnujwar. And this Vishnujwar, Narayan Kavach Mantra, would eventually restore the power of the demigods and would help them get back whatever they have lost. So this is what has happened in the previous chapter. Now, having heard all this, Parikshit Maharaj is continuing to churn the Srimad Bhagavatam by asking questions to Sukadeva Goswami. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking Sukadeva Goswami, please explain the power of this Vishnu mantra by which one can conquer enemies which threaten to kill us. One can conquer enemies which threaten to kill us. Please explain the power of this mantra. Now in response to that particular request, Sukadeva Goswami explains how systematically Vishwarup explained the process of chanting this mantra to Indra. He explained both the aspects, which was very evident when we read the translation today. The Pancharatriki part and the Bhagavad Dharma part. He explained both the aspects. The aspect of physical purification by doing achaman, etc., etc., and then chanting, invoking the auspiciousness by chanting the Narayana, Om Namo Narayana, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And beginning with the ablutions. First he said you have to purify yourself. If you remember, we read in the translation. First we have to purify yourselves. Physical purification, mental purification. How to sit also. And in what mood to sit. Gravity. Not just sitting, relax like this. Or the dive bomb japa which they say, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Like this. Not like that. Sometimes Prabhupada also says, sit straight, Prabhupada said, and chanting. Right. Even in our alarm in the morning, we have that. Prabhupada says, get up! Suddenly you get up because hearing Prabhupada's grave voice. So, Prabhupada also told us to sit straight while chanting and hear the holy name. So, how to sit? What direction to face? What are the initial mantras to chant? The 8th syllable, Om Namo Narayanaya. The 12th syllable, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva Devaya. Touching various parts of the body, seeking protection from all directions. Okay, because Indra was so scared. In any direction he can be attacked, right? So, this Narayan Kavach is like a full protection, 360 degrees, right? Now, till verse 12, these invocations are described. And starting verse 12, the exact Narayan Kavacha begins. So, we will read out the English translation yet again of Narayan Kavacha. It's good for us also to chant. the Supreme Lord, everyone can say, the Supreme Lord, who sits on the back of the bird Garud, touching him with his lotus feet, holds eight weapons. The conch shell, disc, shield, sword, club, arrows, bow, and ropes. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead protect me at all times with his eight arms. He is all powerful because he fully possesses the eight mystic powers, Anima, Laghima, etc. So, this powerful mantra begins with the glorification of the paraphernalia of the Lord. With the conch shell, disc, sword, club, arrows, bow, and ropes. We will not go through all of them today because of time. But one thing we do understand, that there is nothing called as matter in the realm of, in spiritual realm. There is nothing which is material. Matter is a concept of the material world. That is why it is called as material, because it comes from matter. So, these paraphernalia which are held in the arms of Lord Narayana or Vishnu, none of them are material. They are all personalities. So, when this Narayana Kavach shield, when these paraphernalia is being glorified, actually we are glorifying Vaishnavas. What is that verse? When Parvati asks Lord Shiva, what is the highest worship? In Padma Puran, Lord Shiva says, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnor Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devim Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Tadiya means paraphernalia. So, anything associated with the Lord, which is being used in the service of the Lord, is considered as expansion of the Lord. And it is verily so in the spiritual world. So all these conch shell, lotus, Sudarshan Chakra, all these are personalities which are engaged in serving the Lord. They are not made of mundane matter. Just like the nuclear weapons of today. No, they are not those kind of weapons. Right? So praying to these means praying to Vaishnavas, who the Lord bears on himself. Like that. And if you see the Sri Sampradaya, in the Sri Sampradaya, these paraphernalia of the Lord, each of these paraphernalia, they all came as Goswamis in the Sri Sampradaya. In Gaudiya Parampara, we call as Goswamis. In Sri Sampradaya, they are known as Alvars. So they all came down into this world for participating in the pastimes of the Lord and as Acharyas. So we'll talk about four of these main paraphernalia very briefly. First is the conch shell of the Lord. What is the conch shell of the Lord known as? Conch shell is called as shank, but what is it known as? Conch shell of the Lord? Panchajanya, very good. Panchajanya. Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadattam Dhananjaya Poundram Dadmo Mahashankam Bhima Karma Vrikodara. When that, in Bhagavad Gita, in the chapter 1, when the conch shell is blown, no, this verse comes. So, Panchajanya. The Brahma Vaivarta Puran, it declares that the shank or the conch shell of the Lord is both the residence of both Lakshmi and Vishnu. So, both reside in this conch shell. And it is said that by bathing in the waters that the conch shell holds. Every morning we say, no, after the conch shell is offered, then we do this, right? Pour the conch shell into the, then everyone gets that. So it is said that by bathing in the waters which has been held in this conch shell is like bathing with all holy waters at once. So how powerful it is, this conch shell. Not only that, the sound of the conch shell, which is very difficult for us to make. I struggled. I remember when I got Brahman initiation, I was at the altar and I was going, nothing was coming out. And I was banging that conch shell, nothing was coming out. Then Bhaktivan Prabhu told me, don't blow so heavily, blow gently into it. Because we are used to blowing very heavily, no? And when we don't get that, then we blow even further, like that, and nothing comes out. And then some weird sounds started coming out. You know? Very embarrassing when the conch shell doesn't, you know, blow. So you have to blow gently and blow with devotion and then pray to the Lord that some nice sound comes from that conch shell. Okay, but actually, if blown properly, the sound of the conch shell bestows all auspiciousness. The conch shell actually produces the Om Vani. It is said that the conch shell, the sound of the conch shell represents Om, the primeval sound of cosmic creation. That is the power of the conch shell. Further, the conch shell also represents earth, water, fire, air and space. All these are represented in the conch shell. And all of these anyway come from the pranava omkara. Om. All these manifested through sound vibration. And there are two types of conch shells. The right-handed conch shell, which is, and the left-handed conch shell. The right-handed conch shell is considered to be auspicious, and it is called as the Lakshmi Shankh. Now, this right-handed conch shell, sometimes people keep in their homes also. I have seen people keeping this right-handed conch shell at home. Because it is considered that this right-handed conch shell brings wealth and prosperity. Of course, devotees don't keep conch shell for wealth and prosperity. We use it as a paraphernalia to serve our deities at home. Okay. Now, it is said that the shank, when blown, produces the purest form of sound. The purest form of sound comes out of the shank. And that's why our day also, our Mangalarti starts with shank. I don't know whether I'm making it correct. Whatever sound that should come from it, right? And sometimes three pujaris are there, which is rare, you know, in most ISKCON temples. We have three pujaris blowing that. So it's very auspicious. It invokes a very devotional mood and atmosphere it creates. So that is the power of the conch shell. So the Narayan Kavach mantra starts with glorifying this conch shell of the Lord. Then comes the Sudarshan Chakra. The Sudarshan Chakra, Sudarshan means Sudarshan. Sudarshan means what? Auspicious vision. So first aspect is what? Auspicious sound. That is the conch. Then auspicious darshan, which is the Sudarshan Chakra, which is auspicious vision. So the eyes are also getting purified now. Ears have got purified, eyes are getting purified. And chakra means something that moves. Auspiciousness that moves around like that. And Lord Vishnu holds the Sudarshan Chakra in the rear right hand, on the index finger. In fact, the Rig Veda says that this Sudarshan Chakra, this chakra, represents the wheel of time. And it has got 108 serrated edges, the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord. And obviously, we all know that it is a weapon which the Lord uses to destroy the demons. Destroy anything which causes inauspiciousness. It has got 12 spokes, it is said. 12 spokes representing the 12 months of the lunar calendar and the 12 principal demigods. It is said that the Sudarshan Chakra itself is very mystic. It has got anima and laghima both within it. It is said that it can become so small that it can be kept on the leaf, the tip of the leaf of the tulsi plant. The Sudarshan Chakra can sit there also. And at the same time, it can become so big that it can cover the entire universe. So small to so big. Once it is released, it will annihilate its enemy. There is no failure, mechanical failure, scheduled maintenance, nothing like that. There is no bug. Right? So, once it is released, it annihilates the enemy and it returns back to the one who wielded it, which means Lord Vishnu. Who else can wield? No one has the power to wield it anyway. Right? So, it comes back to the Lord. And even after it's released, it remains in complete control of the Lord. Not like that. Nowadays, they are saying when nuclear weapon is released, nobody knows what. Gone then. Everything is gone. Right? You can't bring it back. Right, but the Sudarshan Chakra still remains in control of the Lord, of one who wields it, the Chakradhari. And the speed at which it can travel, it is said that it can travel anywhere within a moment. It can travel at the speed of mind, the Sudarshan Chakra. It's the desire of the Lord and it has already reached. Like that. In fact, it is said that the speed of the Sudarshan Chakra increases if more obstacles are put. So better not put obstacles. That feature is called as Hans Gati. More and more obstacles, more and more its speed increases. And it is soundless and noiseless. Otherwise, you create an irritating noise. Just imagine, no? When that construction work is going on. There also some chakras are rotating. Irritating noise, right? But Sudarshan Chakra doesn't have that kind of a noise, right? In case we are thinking, right? It has got tremendous power to destroy all kinds of inauspiciousness. So, the conch shell, which purifies our ears, and then the Sudarshan, auspicious darshan, which purifies the eyes, the Narayan covered shield glorifies these. Then the Gadha, or the club of the Lord. What is the name of the club of the Lord? Kaumodika. Kaumodaki. Kaumodaki. So a club is also called as a mace in English. The mace or the club which the Lord holds. And it, what does it show? It depicts the physical and mental attributes. It, of the attributes of strength. Physical strength. The strength of the Lord. The authority of the Lord. The power of the Lord. That is the mace. And therefore the Lord keeps it always on his upper arm. So that's the Gadha. So the Narayan covered shield also pays obeisances, respects to the mace of the Lord. And when the Lord is glorified that you are all powerful. There is nobody who is more powerful. So in one sense, the shield starts with this power aspect of the Lord, because what is it going to counter now? It's going to counter the power of Shukracharya. So it really needs blessings of all this mace, etc. Sudarshana. And all this is there. So Narayan Kavach shield is starting with all this. Then finally the lotus. The lotus is the symbol of creation and beauty. It's the symbol of creation and beauty. Obviously we know, when we think of lotus, what comes in mind first to the devotee? Golok Vrindavan. Because Golok Vrindavan is shaped like the lotus flower. So it is the flower which depicts the abode of the highest abode in Vaikuntha. So it represents the shape of the Goloka planet. The lotus also reminds us of the eyes of the Lord. Right? But from the material standpoint, from the point of view of Visarga, the lotus represents sustenance of the material world. And how will the material world sustain? Only when the demigods are alive. If the demigods are gone, everything is gone. The controllers of the universe is gone. Right? So, the lotus is very important. Because it is in the stem of this lotus flower that the 14 planetary systems are held. Bhuvar Lok, Bhuva, Swaha, Maha, Janaha, Tapaha, and then Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Rasa, Atal, Mahatal, Patal, everything. So, all those 14 planetary systems are held within the stem of this lotus. And not only that, Indra's manager, the CEO of the chief executive officer of the material world is Lord Brahma. It is the office of Lord Brahmaji. He is sitting on that lotus flower, deriving all the powers to regulate this universe. Another interesting aspect is there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, Kamala Dala Jala Jeevana Talamala. Like that he says. This is another aspect of the lotus. The lotus also represents purity and enlightenment. The detachment aspect of enlightenment. Because it's interesting. Where does the lotus grow? It grows amidst the swamps. Keechad mein kamal, we say. It grows amidst keechad, sand, like that. It grows there. But though it is present in that sand, what happens? It is not off that sand. It spreads its beauty. Right? So, Lord Krishna explains this very nicely. In Bhagavad Gita 5.10, chapter 5, text 10, ബ്രഹ്മണി ആദായ കർമാണി സംഗം ത്യക്ത്വാ കരോതി യ ലിപ്യതേന സ പാപേന പത്മപത്രം ഇവാംബശ. What is the meaning of that? One who performs his duty without attachment. One who performs his duty without attachment, surrendering the results unto the Supreme Lord, is unaffected by sinful action. Akarma. One who performs his duty without attachment, surrendering the results unto the Supreme Lord, is unaffected by sinful action. How? As the lotus leaf is untouched by water. As the lotus leaf is untouched by water. It doesn't get wet because of the water. It doesn't get impacted. So the lotus doesn't get impacted. The lotus leaf doesn't get impacted because of the water present on it. And the lotus feet does not get impacted in the circumstances which it lives and grows in. So that is the lesson to us. Oh my dear Lord, please give me that kind of a detachment from this material world, amidst all the allurements that it proposes, amidst all the enjoyment offers that it gives me. So this is shield, Narayan Kavach. The biggest protection is what? Protection from getting sucked into this material energy. Krishna Bhuli Jeeva Bhoga Vancha Kare Nistare Maya Tare Jhapatiya Dhare. The moment we forget the Lord, what happens? Maya is waiting to catch us. The moment the demigods offended spiritual master, what happened? Gone. Everything is finished. So, the conch shell, the Sudarshan Chakra, the Gadha and the Lotus, the Narayan Kavach shield starts by worshipping this. Then the prayer moves on to saying that, O Lord, you are all powerful because you possess the 8 mystic powers. Anima, Laghima, etc. So yesterday only in our Bhakti Vaibhav, I was discussing with the students this aspect, because we are now discussing the Hiranyaksha pastime. Hiranyaksha being fighting with Lord Varahadev. So there we were discussing. Because what happens, one of the things that Hiranyaksha does is he's constantly abusing the Lord. Okay. And he's, you know, because he's come out like this. He first went to Varunadev because he could not find anyone on earth that could challenge him. So he went into the water saying that, okay, is there anyone else who wants to fight? You know, in Hindi we say panga le raha hai. He's always looking for that, you know, looking for fighting with someone. There is an itch that is there to fight. So he's going down there, and Varunadev very tactfully directs him to Vishnu. He says, I have become very old, he says. Why do you want to fight with old man? You know, what glories you will get when you fight like that? Very tactfully, diplomatically, he releases him. You know, and he goes, you go and fight with him. But he also incites him. He tells him, he will smash you. And when Hiranyaksha, in the mood in which he has come out, what? He will smash me? And then that kind of a thing he gets. You know? And then with that avesh, you know, then he goes. And then he looks at Varahadev lifting the earth. Then he's abusing Varahadev. You amphibian, he calls him like that. You amphibian. And then he says, whatever all this you are doing, it's all some mystic powers of yours. Why? In one sense, Hiranyaksha is right. There's nothing great about mystic powers. But this is different. This is Lord Varahadev. And the difference between material mystic powers, or mystic powers used for material, mystic powers under material energy, and spiritual mystic powers, it is beautifully explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto. Lord himself is explaining the mystic powers. 11th canto, chapter 15. If you want, you can have a read of that. Yesterday we were discussing that also. So quickly, because it's coming up, surfacing in today's Narayan Kavach mantra, the mystic power aspect, it is mentioned that there are 18 mystic potencies that are described in that chapter, in 11th chapter. There are 18 mystic potencies. It is said that out of that, there are primary 8. And these primary 8 are considered as transcendental mystic powers. which have taken shelter in Lord Krishna. And then there are 10 secondary material ones. But regardless of the fact that they are transcendental or material, the source of all mystic power is Lord Krishna. He is Yogeshwar. Everything comes from him. And these mystic powers are fully developed in the Lord as well as his associates. Now, these mystic powers can be used in the service of the Lord, or they can be used for our own material aggrandizement, if you like. So, for jivas, if one has to develop these kind of mystic powers, it is not easy to get these mystic powers. One has to conquer one's senses to get these mystic powers. There's a lot of tapasya that has to be done. One has to study the mind, one has to conquer the breathing process, and then fix the mind on the Lord. Even for material results, one has to meditate on the Lord. Because without his mercy, you can't even get material mystic powers. Forget about spiritual potencies. So, and it is said that each siddhi, each mystic power has got a specific characteristic. And to develop that mystic power, one has to do a specific kind of meditation. So if anyone is interested in developing those, you can study chapter 15 of 11th canto. Which meditation if you do, which mystic power you will get. Okay. But we should not do that. You may not do that. Because devotees are not interested in that. Ultimately, devotees consider these mystic powers as obstructions to their bhakti. It diminishes our mood towards the Lord, these mystic powers. So, for a devotee, achievement or attainment of such mystic powers is what? Shrama evahi kevalam. Na utpadeyad yadi ratim. That which does not produce rati is shrama evahi kevalam. Useless waste of time. So, pure devotees consider this as a waste of time. And it becomes a distraction in properly worshipping the Lord. The other reason why devotees don't do it, because devotee knows that whatever I require, Lord will give. What is that verse? Yoga kshemam vahamyaham. If that is what I require to continue, Lord will know that and he'll give it to us. He'll give us some powers. Like the negotiating power which Prabhupada had. There was mysticism involved there, given by the Lord. So mysticism will come in the form of certain vibhutis granted by the Lord. It will come in the form of vak shakti also. Prabhupada asks something. There will be a temple here and there is a temple there. How is that happening? Every time Prabhupada says, because he is empowered by the Lord. Purity is the strength which Prabhupada had. Purity and faith that Prabhupada had in the holy name. Like that. So these siddhis will automatically come to the pure devotee. So devotee doesn't extrinsically endeavor for these things. Also, even if offered, what is that? Sayujya, sarupya, sarishti, samipya, ekatva mapiuta, diyamanam nagrananti viramat sevanam janaha. Even if all these mystic powers are offered to the devotee, a devotee rejects all these type of liberations or muktis or even these mystic potencies. Why? Because devotee is not interested in anything which comes in the way of service. So if a mystic power comes in the way of service, to hell with this mystic power. My main focus is my service to the Lord. And finally, if one obtains these mystic powers, then one's dependence on the Lord goes down. The beauty of devotional life is our dependence on the Lord. That is where ras comes. When the gopas don't know what to do, and the dagasura's mouth is wide open, some of them have entered inside. So there is a dependency that happens. And this dependency generates that ras. If everything can be handled by mystic power, then the Lord can empower, and Lord need not come only. Devotees by their mystic power would have killed all the demons. Right? The gopas had all the power. They didn't need the Lord in that sense. But there is something that is churning here. Because the highest understanding of God is not that he is Ishwar or controller. The highest understanding of the Lord, Rupa Goswami gives us, that he is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. So his very existence is ras with his devotees. So there is no ras when you get mystic powers. There is no dependence on the Lord. There is no satisfaction that the devotees get. Neither does the Lord get any satisfaction in coming as the knight in charming, shining armor and saving his devotee. The Lord also takes pleasure in that. So let us give him that opportunity, not mystic powers like that. So because of all these reasons, devotees do not accept this. Except if it is required for bhakti. But those who try to attain mystic powers without meditating on the Lord, the Lord says, I give them something, but they are mere reflections of that powers. They don't carry the same potency. All this is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Anima Siddhi, Mahima Siddhi, which is what is part of the Narayana Kavacha Mantra today. Laghima. So these Siddhis again are divided. There are Siddhis which pertain to the body, like Anima and Laghima, bigger, smaller. There are Siddhis which pertain to the senses. There are Siddhis which pertain to the material nature. Now, what is the important point to understand here? That all these Siddhis originally exist in Krishna. And Lord Krishna did not do any tapasya to attain this. He is Siddheshwar. He is the one from whom all these Siddhis come. So when we glorify the Lord, we should not have that Hiranyaksha mentality. That you have acquired mystic powers and therefore you are showing it off to me. No, that's an incorrect understanding. You are the source of all mystic powers. And that is the mood in which Narayan Kavach Mantra is being chanted. Oh my dear Lord, you carry all the Shankh Chakra Gada Padma and then you are the source of all these mystic powers. So it acknowledges the Lord. And it is not something which is amazing. Becoming smaller than the smallest. The Lord as Sirodakshaya Vishnu, who is maintaining this entire material universe, he is entering each and every atomic particle. And it is the smallest indivisible. Paramanu is the smallest indivisible particle. And the Lord is entering each and every one. So how small can that get? He breathes out millions of universes. One universe the scientist cannot measure. Million universes impossible. And he is just breathing it out. So how big can it get? So all these siddhis are anyway there in the Lord. So one just understands the pastime of the Lord, then one would understand that all this is just nothing for the Lord. In fact, Prabhupada writes in one of the purports to the Hiranyaksha section that devotees are not amazed. Devotees are not amazed by the wonderful acts of the Lord. Because for a devotee, nothing is wonderful, what the Lord does. Because the Lord can do anything. It's just like the Brahmana and the cobbler. The cobbler can thread. The cobbler said, yes, I believe that the Lord can thread the elephant through the eye of a needle. What's big thing for the Lord? He puts an entire banyan plant in one. The big sumo, what is that WWF wrestler, the Tatanka, who comes and throws that fellow outside the ring. Even that huge fellow came from the semen of his father. He was not visible. Inside a microscope, you have to see, oh, this Tatanka, yeah, he's taking birth now. Right? So that is how the Lord can pack something huge into something very small. So he is the source of all powers. So all these are insignificant. But still, the devotees glorify the Lord for these powers. So the Narayan Kavach Mantra is mentioning all this in text number 12. It starts with glorifying this. Now Prabhupada in his purports gives all these technicalities, but Prabhupada gives the mood of chanting this mantra. In the translation we saw, this mantra should be chanted in a mood full of gravity, seriousness. Not frivolously chanted. Like that. For example, in India, in the electrical shop, that Gayatri Mantra will be played in full volume, right? Anuradha Paudwal will be singing loudly, you know, and then everything will be going on there, right? And there will be a wine shop also next, nearby, right? So we have no idea what is mantra, where it should be chanted, because mantra has got a time, place, a method in which it has to be chanted. Very frivolously it is done, but it is said that there is a mood. Prabhupada is emphasizing that. What is the mood? Prabhupada says that when you chant the mantra, we must meditate on the qualitative oneness, on our qualitative oneness with the Supreme. But Prabhupada is cautioning. The moment I talk about qualitative oneness, people will say, I am God. Many people say, no, I am God. Nowadays, it's a fashion. When these dadiwalas are asked, are you God? With big, big beards. What they do? They will not say yes. They will not say no also. But they will want others to assume that they are God. But they will say, I never told you. So the respect will also come. People will consider them as God. And they are legally correct also. And spiritually also they are correct. So they will not say anything. But they will enjoy the benefits of people perceiving them as God. But when someone addressed Prabhupada as God, Prabhupada got wild. But I'm not God. Don't glorify me like that. It's only Krishna who is God. I'm only servant of God. So none of us are God. But this verse, Narayan Kavachil, tells us that we must meditate on the qualitative oneness with the Lord. Yes, we are qualitatively one with Him. Because Mamaiva Amsha Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. We have come from Him. So we are qualitatively one with Him, but we are not Him. It's just like if you take the water in the Pacific Ocean and bring it to a laboratory, then what is there in the test tube? Pacific Ocean. But what is it? It's a sample. It is qualitatively one with the Lord. But that is not the Pacific Ocean. You cannot say, okay, let me swim in the test tube. No, it's not possible. Right? Because that water is not enough. But it is representative of that water. If you measure the sodium content, phosphorus content, everything will be representative of the Pacific Ocean. Like that. So it is Pacific Ocean, but it is not Pacific Ocean. This is called as Achintya Bhed Abhed, which Lord Chaitanya clarified to all of us. So when we understand the qualitative oneness and difference, we understand in the form of Achintya Bhed Abhed. Otherwise, Ahangra Upasan, which Prabhupada talks about in the purport, sometimes what will happen? The Mayavadis worship. They also do. What is that? The five deities they worship. What they do? The Pancha Upasana. What they do? They worship the deities and say that I am worshipping you so that I can become you. No. That is nonsense philosophy. Right? That is not possible. Because our constitutional position is that we can never become Bhagavan. That position is already taken. There is only one seat for that. That seat has gone. No quota system, no entrance exam, nothing can get you that seat. But the seat which the devotees desire is what seat? The seat of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. That is the most prestigious seat for the devotee. That is very difficult to become servant of servant of servant because our false ego comes in. Right? So, that is the mood in which we pray. The mood of qualitative oneness. Now, having heard all this about the Narayan Kavach Shield, for us as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, practicing Krishna consciousness in Kali Yuga, what is our mantra? What is our kavacha? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because this is the mantra that is recommended for this age. So yes, we appreciate the Narayan Kavach Shield. We appreciate the circumstances of the demigods. But for Kali Yuga, what is the mantra? Hare Krishna Mahamantra. For us. So, and who are our enemies? Indra's enemies was those asuras. Who are our enemies? There are five enemies. What are those? Yeah, we call it as pagal in Hindi. P for pride, A for anger, G for greed, E for envy, and L for lust. Pagal means mad. Pride, anger, greed, envy, and lust. They all give us this pagalpan. So what is this madness? So our enemy is this madness. Because every day we succumb to this madness. We do something good and immediately pride comes. Prabhuji, how is the khichdi? You made. Vaishnava Seva Prabhu. We want to be recognized. How was the kirtan, Prabhu? How was the class, Prabhu, today? Very good, Prabhu. No, Prabhu. Just like that I asked. Right? So this is the problem. Pride comes, request for acknowledgement, recognition. These things comes. Request for honoring seniority. These are all enemies. Come and attack us every other day. Anger. Especially if some peer or junior doesn't. If spiritual master gets angry, sometimes okay, he's okay. The Maharaj. But if peer gets angry, if junior tells something, they correct us, then what happens? Right? Immediately that anger comes. Who are you? I have been coming here 15 years, 16 years to this temple. You come today and tell me like that. Immediately that anger. So what we have to do? We have to take a slipper and beat that mind. Pat. And what is that? Sorry. We shouldn't call Hare Krishna Mahamantra as a slipper, but I'm just using a metaphor. We have to beat the mind. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, beat that mind with the shoe like that. How do we do that? We do it by chanting. That is our kavach. Because for all of us, the greatest enemy we have is our own mind. There is no external enemy in this world. Nothing is outside our mind. There is no enemy. Whatever is happening is all happening inside the mind. That mind is like a crow. Like Gurujan Prabhu says, cow, cow. It gives like a black crow. It keeps making those sounds. Making us run around. What is that called as? Mano Sathena Rati Dhavato Bahi. ಯಸ್ಯಸ್ತಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಭಗವತ್ ಅಕಿಂಚನ ಸರ್ವೈರ್ ಗುಣೈ ತತ್ರ ಸಮಸ್ತತೆ ಸುರ ಹರೌ ಅಭಕ್ತ ಕುತೋ ಮಹದ್ಗುಣ ಮನೋರಥೇನ ಸತಿ ಧಾವತೋ ಬಹಿ. ಇಫ್ ಒನ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸರೆಂಡರ್ಡ್ ಟು ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಒನ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಶೆಲ್ಟರ್ಡ್ ಅಂಡರ್ ದ ಹೋಲಿ ನೇಮ್ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಮಹಾಮಂತ್ರ, ಶೆಲ್ಟರ್ಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ರಿಸೈಟಿಂಗ್ ದ ನೇಮ್ಸ್. ವಾಟ್ ವಿ ಆರ್, ಅಟ್ಲೀಸ್ಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ಫಿನಿಶಿಂಗ್ ಮೈ ರೌಂಡ್ಸ್ ಎವ್ರಿ ಡೇ. ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿಗನ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾಸೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಟಿಲ್ ನೌ. ಸಂಬಡಿ ಆಸ್ ಆರ್ ಯು ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್, ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಆನ್ಸರ್? ನೋ ಪ್ರಭುಜಿ. ಆರ್ ಯು ಫಿನಿಶಿಂಗ್ ರೌಂಡ್ಸ್? ಎಸ್ ಪ್ರಭು, ಫಿನಿಶಿಂಗ್ 16 ರೌಂಡ್ಸ್. ಬಟ್ ವೆನ್ ಆರ್ ವಿ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಚಾಂಟ್? ಸೋ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಸೀರಿಯಸ್. ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಸೆಡ್ ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿ ಡನ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಮೂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಗ್ರಾವಿಟಿ. ದಟ್ ಅಪ್ಲೈಸ್ ಟು ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಮಹಾಮಂತ್ರ ಆಲ್ಸೋ. ಇನ್ ದ ಮೂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಸರೆಂಡರ್, ಇನ್ ದ ಮೂಡ್ ಆಫ್, ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಮೂಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್? ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಸೆಡ್, ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್? ತೃಣಾದಾಪಿ ಸುನಿಚೇನ ತರೋರಿವ ಸಹಿಷ್ಣುನ ಅಮಾನೇನ ಮಾನದೇನ ಕೀರ್ತನೆ ಸದಹರಿ. ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೀಮ್ಲಿ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟ್, ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೀಮ್ಲಿ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟ್ ವೆನ್ ಸಮ್ ಒನ್ ಡಸಂಟ್ ಗಿವ್ ಅಸ್ ರೆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ ಟು ಗಿವ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ರೆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ ಟು ದಟ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್. ಇಂಪಾಸಿಬಲ್, ರೈಟ್? ಬಟ್ ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ವಿ ಶುಡ್ ಬಿ ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಷನ್. ಸೊ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಷನ್ ಪರ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಅಹಂಗ್ರೋಪಾಸನ ಇಸ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೇಟಿವ್ ಅನ್ನಸ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಬಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಅಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಇಟ್? ತೃಣಾದಾಪಿ ಸುನಿಚೇನ. ಆರ್ ದೇ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್? ನೋ, ದೇ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್. ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್, ಭಗವಾನ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್? ಐಶ್ವರ್ಯಸ ಸಮಾಗ್ರಸ್ಯ ವೀರ್ಯಶ ಯಶಶ್ರೀಯ ಜ್ಞಾನ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯಶ್ಚೈವ ಶಂದಂ ಭಾಗ ಇತಿಂಗಣ. ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಡೆಫಿನೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಇಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಇಸ್ ವಾಟ್? ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಪವರ್ಫುಲ್, ಒನ್ ಇಸ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್, ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ ವೆಲ್ದಿ, ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಫೇಮಸ್. ಅಂಡ್ ಡಿಸ್ಪೈಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಆಲ್ ದಟ್, ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ರಿನೌನ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್, ರೈಟ್? ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ ರೆನೌನ್ಸಿಯೇಷನ್. ಒನ್ ಇಸ್ ಫುಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಲವ್. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೇಟಿವ್ ಒನ್ನೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಇಂಬೈಬ್, ಅಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಕಮ್ ಬೈ ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಮಹಾಮಂತ್ರ. ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಮಹಾಮಂತ್ರ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಚಾಂಟ್ ದಟ್ ಮಹಾಮಂತ್ರ, ಇಟ್ ಹೆಲ್ಪ್ಸ್ ಅಸ್ ಇನ್ ಡೆವಲಪಿಂಗ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೇಟಿವ್ ಒನ್ನೆಸ್. ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ವೈ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೆಡ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸಿಕ್ಸ್ ಕ್ಯಾರೆಕ್ಟರಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ಸ್. ವಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಕ್ಯಾರೆಕ್ಟರಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್? ಶುಭದ. ಶುಭದ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್? ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಟೇಕ್ ಟು ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್, ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ದ ಹೋಲಿ ನೇಮ್ ಸೀರಿಯಸ್ಲಿ, ದೆನ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಗುಡ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ದಟ್ ಆರ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ ಡಿವಿನಿಟಿ ವಿಲ್ ಡಾನ್ ಅಪಾನ್ ಅಸ್. ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಸೇಸ್ ದೀಸ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಡೋಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಕಮ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಔಟ್ಸೈಡ್. ದೀಸ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ಇನ್ಹರೆಂಟ್ ಆಸ್ ಅ ಕ್ಯಾರೆಕ್ಟರಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸೋಲ್. ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ದ ಸ್ವಭಾವ ಆರ್ ದ ನೇಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸೋಲ್. ಬಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್? ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದ ಸೋಲ್ ಇಸ್ ಕವರ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮೇಲ್, ಮೇಲ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್? ದರ್ಟ್. So that the cleaning process of the Mahamantra. So for us, this Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the process. Now, if someone tells us in the morning, take bath and then, you know, do Achamanam and all that, yes, to some extent we can do. But if someone sits, take a kusakra, sit on a mat and whatever, whatever, very difficult, right? Some of these things which are mentioned here, extremely difficult, right? But thankfully for us, what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? Naam naam akari bahuda, nija sharva shaktis, ತತ್ರಾರ್ಪಿತ ನಿಯಮಿತ ಸ್ಮರಣೆಯನ್ನ ಕಾಲ. ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ನೋ ರೂಲ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ರೆಗ್ಯುಲೇಷನ್ಸ್, ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಟೈಮ್. ಸೊ ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ಫುಲಿ ದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಮಹಾಮಂತ್ರ ಈಸಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ, ಎನಿವೇರ್ ವಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಡೂ. ಐ ಡೋಂಟ್ ರೆಕಮೆಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್, ಬಟ್ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಈವನ್ ಡೂ ಇಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಬಾತ್ರೂಮ್. ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ರೆಕಮೆಂಡೆಡ್ ಟು ಡೂ ಇಟ್ ದೋ, ರೈಟ್? ಬಟ್ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಮಹಾಮಂತ್ರ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಬಿ ಡನ್ ಎನಿ ಟೈಮ್. ಅಂಡ್ ವೈ ಡೂ ವಿ ಸೇ ಇಟ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಬಿ ಡನ್ ಈವನ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಬಾತ್ರೂಮ್? ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಡಿಡ್ ದಟ್. ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ವೆನ್ ಹಿ ವೆಂಟ್ ಟು ದಿ ಫಾರ್, ಅಫ್ಕೋರ್ಸ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಅ ಪಾಸ್ ಟೈಮ್, ಬಟ್ ಯು ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಐ ಕಾಂಟ್ ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮಂತ್ರ, ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಹೋಲ್ಡ್ ಮೈ ಟಂಗ್. So this Mahamantra doesn't have any niyam, no rules, regulations. So for us, we have got that flexibility. It is not as difficult as chanting the Narayana Kavacha also. So that is the take-home lesson for all of us today. The Lord has invested all his energies such that it will give us complete protection. There is nothing outside the Hare Krishna Mahamantra that we ever need to do. But the problem is, we will not start chanting despite hearing. Why? Because the seriousness in chanting will come only when the seriousness comes in hearing. If our shravanam is poor, our chanting will be third class. If our shravanam is first class, our chanting will also become first class. Because every day we need enthusiasm to chant the holy names attentively. And unless we hear, 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 we will not do, do, do. Because Maya is always pushing us down. The moment the prisoner is escaping the jail, the guards of the system are even more tough. Oh, this fellow is trying to escape, pull him back. So what will happen? Maya will present us with lot of material allurements, which will come in the form of pride, prestige, position, material attachments. So therefore, always we have to keep ourselves in the fire of this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That is our kavacha. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. I'll ask any questions or any corrections, Mataji. Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned about the highest
want the mic so that the people on the
Hare Krishna. Well, you mentioned that the highest rasa comes from when there is a dependency on the Lord, and you gave the example of gopas depending on Krishna. But in our day-to-day life, we are more dependent on our own security plans, so which are mostly baffled. So that remembrance comes sometimes when we are in a deep struggle of life. But how do we just, you know, keep that remembrance all the time about the dependency?
So should we plan or should we surrender to the Lord? The answer is both. Okay. Because the Lord says, karmane vadhika raste mahaphaleshu kadachana. He didn't say, don't do your karma mahaphaleshu kadachana. He never said that. Right? So we have to do our duty, which is appropriate to the ashram which we have taken. If we have taken to grihastha ashram, it is our duty to take care of finances of the house. We cannot say, I will live like Tukaram. Because otherwise, are we Tukaram? No. Otherwise, Tukaram can tolerate any number of insults. Can I tolerate even one insult? No way. I am not on that platform, right? So therefore, we cannot imitate those grihasthas who are virtually grihastha brahmacharis. We cannot imitate them before our time comes. Rather, we have to do our duties as householders with detachment. And at the same time, keep on praying to the Lord. Then in executing these duties of grihastha ashram, let me not get sucked into material life. So it has to be a fine balance. We have to balance our duties, our material duties and our spiritual duties. If we have to go to our office and work properly, yes, we have to do that. We have to excel in our jobs. Otherwise, how will we get sustained income? In fact, devotees work better than anyone else in office. Because we don't waste time drinking and smoking, right? We don't need smoke breaks and cigarette drink breaks. Neither do we need Friday night drinks to enthuse us for teamwork. Right? Devotees are very satisfied, you know, with the morning program. So when we go to office, we are already completely charged. And when we do our jobs, we do our jobs in the sense that it is what is Krishna has ordained for me. So we do our duties in office, and that itself is bhakti yoga, because we do it for the Lord. Because the Lakshmi which comes from that, we will give it for propagating Krishna consciousness. And to get that Lakshmi, we have to get a job. And to get a job, we have to study. So even as children, we have to study well. Devotee children have to be the best in studies. Because when we introduce Devamrita Swami, how do we introduce Maharaj? What do we say? He's from which university? Yale University. So he did study. Right? Otherwise, how he would have got into Yale University, right? So we should not condemn the material energy. Rather, the Srimad Bhagavatam Chatushloki talks about this. Rite ritam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta cha atmani tad vidya atmano mayam yatha bhasho yatha tamaha. There is nothing material actually in this world. Material is a conception. Anything which we cannot see its connection to the Lord, that becomes material. But if we connect everything, our activities, our possessions, our bank balance, everything, our house, if we connect it to the Lord, then there is nothing left for matter to reside in. Material energy will not reside there. So therefore, we have to continue doing our duties. Apropos to our ashram. But when we reach 50, at that time we should start, our life and planning should be such that by the time we hit 50, we should be able to take vanaprastha without much difficulty. That is how we have to plan our life and finances. Then it becomes easier. Otherwise, if we start working till 75, we will collapse. There is no vanaprastha. Directly from Docklands to Springvale Cemetery. Office van will come and take us. Collapsed in office. And then what will they say? They say, we will have 1 minute silence for this person. That's all they will do. And then they will say, okay, let us all do some drinks party. It was a nice bloke. They will drink on our name. Right? That's all will happen. And after 10 days, we'll say, who is that fellow? We have to replace him now. Okay, recruit next fellow. And then nobody will remember us. And then we'll say, I worked 40 years for this company. You know, I was so loyal. So everything is a waste in that sense. But if everything utilized in doing our activity, then everything becomes bhakti yoga. And then there is no loss or diminution. So whatever we do, it is bhakti. If we do it with keeping Lord in the center. That's the... Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Jagannath Prabhu. Very nice, wonderful lecture. You have covered so many things in one lecture. Incredible, incredible. My comment about the Sudarshan Chakra, Lord Krishna, Lord Narayan sent it for the Durvasa. So you told us how it has to come back to him, but he had to take shelter of the king whom he had insulted. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, and thank you for the wonderful class. We have heard in many lectures how when Durvasa Muni committed the offense to Ambarish Maharaj, he went to Ambarish Maharaj to ask for forgiveness, and then only he got forgiven. But in this past time, how Indra offends Brihaspati, he doesn't go to Brihaspati. He goes to Vishwarupa and gets his power back. So how do we understand this?
Very good question. Thank you for the wonderful question. You always say thank you for the wonderful class. Today I am thanking you for wonderful questions. So, why did Indra go to Brihaspati? Simple reason being, Indra was not seeking atonement. Indra was seeking to get his kingdom back. See his motive. When our motive is to seek atonement, then we will follow the process for atonement. Here, where is the mood of atonement here? Indra is going there, and then on top of that, whoever gave him that mantra, Indra kills him only after that. So, this is the height of, you know, being focused on whatever you want, right? So Indra is not wanting that. So this is not applicable to that. This is not the same as that. Is that clear? His goal is not atonement. He is not repentant or anything like that. He just wants to find out some way by which the Shukracharya's energy can be countered. And then he can get back his kingdom. That is the mood. Whereas in that case of Durvasa Muni still had that realization that I have offended a Vaishnava. Of course, he did something, you know, abominable by trying to, you know, curse and kill Ambarish Maharaj. But later on he realized, you know, that this is, you know, we have offended a devotee. So that pastime is different in one sense, in its theme. This pastime is different. Here everything material is going on right now. And even this Narayan Kavach shield, he is going to use it only for material purpose. He is glorifying Lord Narayana. But still, one good thing is there in that. At least the demigod is not going to another demigod. They are also going there. Because Lord says, Akama Sarva Kamova Moksha Kama Udaridi. Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajjeta Purusham Param. So come to me, even if you have material desire, chant my name only. Because what will happen? The Lord fulfills that desire in such a way that you will not desire that again. Because it's not that after chanting this, Indra is ever victorious. After that, lot of problems will come, which you will see in the future sections. So when we chant just for material purposes, the Lord will fulfill it in such a way that later on we will not want that. Yeah, so that thematically it is different. What is the most auspicious sound, Om or Conchal? Conchal is the medium through which Om Vani comes. So Conchal is not sound in itself. Conchal produces Om sound. Who is Satya Narayan? Satya Narayan is Lord Narayana. No, Satya Narayana is Lord Narayana, because Lord Narayana is Param Satyam Dhimahi, so he is the ultimate truth. So when we glorify the Lord that you are the supreme absolute ultimate, then we glorify him as Satya Narayana. And the Lord is also called as Satya Narayana because Lord is true to his word. He never fails his devotee. He is Achyuta, infallible. So he is, when he promises something, he delivers on that promise. So it's Satya Narayana, like that. Yeah. Okay.
Defeated demigods. So, how did Indra knows like he insulted a spiritual master? Indra, how did he knows that he insulted spiritual master? How did he realize? Yeah.
He was there in that event when Brihaspati left, and he, by Brihaspati's body language, he could realize that, you know, Brihaspati is offended because he got up and went, you know, and Brihaspati didn't say anything. When spiritual master doesn't say anything, no, when he doesn't stop chastising, you have to know that he's even more angry. When he chastises, it is easy. In fact, it is said with Prabhupada also. Prabhupada's level of anger was classified at various levels. Prabhupada shouting is one. Prabhupada will give it left, right. And then what happens? Higher level of anger was what? Of Prabhupada? His lips will start trembling. Like that. That means Prabhupada is really angry, one level above. And then highest anger of Prabhupada was what? He will become silent. And he is very, very angry. Like that. So Brihaspati, if you, from what my memory tells me, Brihaspati did not tell him that I am hurt or whatever. The very fact that he walked away and he remained in silence, Indra realized that, oh my goodness, something is wrong here. So it's not difficult to recognize that. And obviously these inauspicious signs, Indra is the chief of the demigods. We have to understand that he is actually a devotee. He's a mixed devotee. But Indra will have that intelligence to understand that when my prowess is going down, there is something wrong. And then he definitely has the intelligence to introspect and go do the root cause analysis in his own heart. Because all the knowledge is there with him. So he saw externally Brihaspati, that the fact that Brihaspati walked away and he didn't say anything. And then internally he knows that. You know. Narayan Kavach. He did the Narayan Kavach, by which he got back, but then he also killed the person who gave the Narayan Kavach, which will come later. He killed this Vishwarup, because this Vishwarup was a Samadarshi. He gave some of it to the demigods also. He gave the remnants of the offerings to the Asuras also, and Indra didn't like that. How dare you give them that? So, yeah. So they don't like. Sometimes Krishna Prasadam, you know, some people get envious when you give it to others. They think that it's diminishing their own powers, like that. Okay. I will stop here because it's already 9:14. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samaved Bhaktavrinda ki jai.